no one else, why don't we move to agenda item number 5, the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Plan. Mr. Briggs?
Okay, thank you. Do we have EPA on the line? I guess not. Okay. We received a letter from US EPA late yesterday afternoon.
Recused off this.
Oh.
So maybe this is a good time.
Yeah.
Mr. Shallcross, did you...
Yeah. Before you start the item, I'd just like to make a statement. Because of a prior contractual agreement with NRDC and a current one with the Ocean Conservancy that I have, in order to avoid the appearance of bias, I'm going to recuse myself from this item.
Thank you, Mr. Shallcross.
Michael's trying to call you right now.
And Dr. Hunter as well.
Okay, bye.
For Monterey. Go ahead, Ms. Elkin.
Well, I've just been reminded by council that I submitted a letter prior to my appointment, and therefore it's part of the record, and this is a continuation of the first hearing, so I must recuse myself.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter.
She was just trying to call me, or she did call me.
3, 4, 5. So we are down to a bare quorum once again.
That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I hope all that reading wasn't for naught, Monica.
No, actually, the intricacies of stormwater management issues are extremely important, and I'm sure I'll have a chance to comment on future plans coming before this panel.
Before we start, we have the issue of this letter, the EPA letter, and I'd like to know.
Do we all have it?
No, we don't all have it. What I received late yesterday was a letter that staff sent to me. It's from EPA. That's dated yesterday, and it's EPA's comments on this agenda item. And so the letter, you know, has come in after our cutoff. And so, you know, although I've read it, and I think that the comments are important comments, I think that they're, you know, pertinent to what we're dealing with. I wanted to find out from the Monterey group if they have any objections to us letting the letter come in, kind of as an initial inquiry, and then we'll see where we go with this.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Fred Muir. I'm the city manager in Monterey.
Yeah.
I would ask that we continue with the process because I think it's important we hear what has been said, and we have an opportunity to address it. You know, we did not get a copy of it yesterday. We got a copy of it when we walked in this afternoon, so we are not prepared to address it.
Okay.
But I think it would be worthwhile to the process to continue on. Let's hear what folks have to say. Let's hear what the staff has to say. But please continue the action so that we can address it at your next hearing of this item in substance.
I don't know that we are necessarily going to continue this item.
Okay. I guess what I'm saying is what the EPA has to say,
right,
is important to be heard.
Okay.
It's important to be heard by us. It's
right.
Important to be heard by the board.
Right.
At the same time, we are not prepared to address it in detail any more than your staff is probably ready to address it in detail. So we would like the opportunity before you make a final decision because many of their recommendations have very substantive cost implications that we need to ponder over, because as some of you know, we're really talking major trade-offs. So I'm sure that you want to get this done and moved on to the next thing as much as we want to. But if you're going to make a decision today, I would ask that you follow your rules and that it didn't come in on time. If you're going to postpone the decision, obviously include it, but allow us the opportunity to logically address it.
Okay. Let me ask you a few questions about this. Have you read the entire letter?
I just skimmed it. Yes, sir. I don't have my personal copy.
Okay. Has anyone from your staff read the letter?
Yes, sir. They just read it a few moments ago when they walked in.
You know, I've read through it, and it seems to me like what EPA has done essentially is to they reviewed the NRDC, white paper,
correct,
so to speak, and they noticed a number of propositions put forth by NRDC and felt that these were good ideas for implementation, and it's not new information. I mean, I'm sure that, the city has already been reviewing NRDC's position for some time. Isn't that
sure?
True?
As your staff has. I mean, this has been, I'll call it a team effort right from the get-go in terms of moving to an endpoint that makes sense where we are in terms of this level of permit. But there are very substantial cost implications associated with the standards at the EPA. I mean, we're really talking about, are we going to be making this many inspections or that many inspections? I believe your staff recommendation is that based on what they have heard from NRDC, based on what they have heard from us, and based on how you've treated other permittees, that we have a favorable recommendation in terms of where we are right now. So that's why I say that's why I think it would be interesting to go forward, but it's really the quantification and what does it mean to us as a city as a whole as we struggle with how to finance this effort vis-a-vis the other efforts that we have to finance. It's not that anybody is saying that any of these ideas are bad. It's just how do you fund them and still field a police department and the other activities that you need in the community. That's the trade-off for the city councils that we're really struggling with, sir.
When your staff received the NRDC, and I'll call it the white paper just to condense it down, it's the 80-page, what are we calling it?
It's a practical plan for pollution prevention.
Right. Just so we all know, a practical plan for pollution prevention. When your staff received that, did you go through and look at costs at that point in time?
Sir, we actually did something similar to your own staff in terms of looking and evaluating and coming up with an end state that we think that we can afford. We did not price out theirs. Because theirs is a very theoretical, this is a sort of across-the-board goal. I mean, I would argue that if you look at the total investment of what we are already making in the program and you look at the quality of our waterfront now and look at the quality of the water right now and look at the progress that the cities along the bay have made, you can see that we are willing to make very, very substantial investments in both water quality and environmental quality. So it's what's that trade-off? But right now I could not tell you the dollar figure associated with what they are suggesting. More is always better if you don't have to pay for it. I mean, the final end state of environmental perfection is a wonderful goal, and NRDC is absolutely right in trying to pursue that goal. You have the terrible job of trying to balance the middle right, what is practicable, what is responsible, in the real world. So you've got the tough job.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think what I'm hearing is that we can't admit this letter.
That's right. That's what the discharger's position is. But I'm just trying to find out what prejudice there would be if it came in. That's why I was asking. You would need more time to look at costs, and that's why I wanted to know if you've had an opportunity you know, before today to at least identify, you know, I mean, the NRDC put something together that, you know, we asked them to do the last go-around, and that's almost a year ago.
Yes, sir.
And so they did come to the table, and they put something forward, which, I mean, I'll be honest with you, as I read through it, I thought, you know, these look like some good ideas. You know, I really want to hear why they shouldn't be part of the plan. And so, you know, I was hoping that as part of this discussion we would find out, well, this would cost X. They're asking for Y, but it's going to cost us X. We're doing Z. We think that's sufficient. We think that meets the maximum extent practicable standard. But I guess you haven't, what you're telling me is that you haven't really looked at all of their components and kind of addressed cost. You feel that you're kind of in a disadvantage.
Yes, sir. We worked with them. We worked with your staff. We worked with other cities because each of our cities are different. The resources of Monterey are totally different than the resources of some of the other cities. So what we are prepared to do, what we are actually doing, is totally different than other cities. So this whole, you know, I think this is iteration number 5 before you, has been an effort to try and find that middle ground. I mean, NRDC is an NGO. I mean, they are a player like us. What the EPA has to say carries a lot more weight in terms of being a regulating body. But what one of my later comments when we actually get to the item in specific, if we do, and I hope we do, is we have it coming at us in a number of different parameters. We have this phase 2 permit, and what are the minimum requirements of law for this permit? I would argue, as our presenter will, and I believe your staff will say, that we are beyond the minimum requirements of the permit, and we are moving towards making it better with each iteration. At the same time, we have other imponderables that are sort of alluded to in this permit process of the ASBS that are huge question marks pending resolution by the state board. So I would ask that you include that information, take all the testimony, but continue the item so each of us can provide you one last iteration of information before you make your final decision.
Okay. Well, let's do this for now. We'll put the letter aside, and we'll get to that once we're going to get EPA on the phone.
They should be there now.
I have a couple things to say. One is that I think NRDC wants to respond to the comments okay. about the letter. And on the issue of prejudice, if these comments are reiterations of information that's already in the record because NRDC or the Ocean Conservancy or someone else submitted it, then there's no prejudice. The only new thing, if it's just a reiteration, is that EPA agrees, and EPA is on the phone, and they can tell us what their position is, and that's certainly going to come into the hearing.
And that's what I was trying to flush out. I'm not certain as to what the prejudice really could be at this point because they've been given an opportunity to see each of NRDC's propositions and have had adequate time, at least at that point, to try to get a cost fix on it if that's what their concern is. So,
may the city attorney address the question of prejudice, sir?
Sure.
Before you do, maybe I can find out for sure whether we've actually got EPA on the phone. Ms. Strauss, are you there?
I am, Roger.
Okay, thanks.
Chair Young, I think the prejudice to the city of Monterey is that the EPA is a reviewing body. They're the makers of the Clean Water Act. That letter that they wrote carries a lot more weight than the letter of an NGO. So on that basis, I think we are prejudiced by the acceptance of this letter at the last minute and not having the opportunity to respond to it in whole.
But how about the fact that the comments in the letter are really nothing new? It's just EPA saying we agree with XYZ. How does that prejudice you? I mean,
it prejudices us because of the person it's coming from. It's coming from the EPA now in this case. It's not somebody that is a commenter. It's a reviewer of the process. And I think their letter would carry more weight, and that is prejudicial to us to accept it at the last minute. Also, I've been told by the city engineer there is new information in that letter.
Okay. Mr. Beckman, do you want to weigh in on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, members of the board. I'm David Beckman. You'll hear from me later. I just want to say, first of all, that the city attorney just made clear why there's no prejudice. He pointed out that EPA is a reviewer, not a commenter. Any comment deadline that might apply to an NGO or another member of the community certainly doesn't apply to the agency that runs the Clean Water Act, the agency with which the state board has a memorandum of agreement by which you have the authority to do what you're doing here today. The only reason you're issuing this permit is because EPA has given you the right to do it as long as everything you do is consistent with the Act. EPA telling you at any time during the process that they have serious problems with what your staff has proposed is the most germane type of information you could possibly get. And frankly, to exclude it on any ground is to treat this issue as if it's some kind of a debate between warring parties and not an opportunity for you to make the best possible decision based on all the information in front of you. And I also would agree with, I think, the thrust of the chairman's comments that because EPA is expressing an opinion based on information that's part of the record, there couldn't be any possible prejudice except one thing. And you know what that one thing is? If this is before you and you read it, if you haven't already, you really might come to the conclusion that more work needs to be done here, and the city and the other cities may not have the opportunity to pass a plan which is inadequate. And that's not the type of prejudice that's ever recognized in administrative proceedings or any court proceedings. So the legal thing to do and the right thing to do is read the letter, make it part of the record. If you don't, what we will do, just to maybe cut to the bottom line here, is we'll read the letter into the record. Somebody could object that is hearsay, but this is not a formal proceeding today, and therefore there's no prohibition on hearsay. And so the information will get into the record. It's important. If it doesn't get in now, it'll get in before the state board. I think we should look at the letter, whether you make a decision or not. We actually have a resolution for you that would allow you to move forward today. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that. But if the choice is between not reading, not putting the letter in, or putting it in, I think that the real choice is not much of one.
Thank you. Come to the podium, please.
I'd like to object to the statements of the NRDC. I'm not really clear why the NRDC is making an argument on behalf of the EPA when the EPA is on the phone. So I'd like to ask that his argument be stricken. Further, I don't think there's anything in your rules that say that just because it's a letter from the EPA, who is the creators of the Clean Water Act, that you have to accept it as a comment letter. That there's any actual exception in the law that applies to the EPA or to the state board or any other body that chooses to submit a comment letter late.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Point of order.
Objections like the one we just heard are typically not made in informal proceedings. I assume this is an informal proceeding, Ms. Oak, and that's how you've noticed it. I haven't objected to a lot of testimony that doesn't have a factual basis because I understand this to be an informal hearing. I want to make sure that that's the appropriate understanding.
Yes.
It is. Okay.
I think we can hear from EPA before you make a decision on whether to let this letter in, but I just want to point out that if the letter is going to be let into the record, that the board members who haven't seen it should make sure to read it during a break.
Okay. All right. And we're not going to hear from EPA now, right? We're going to hear from them. Is this, rebuttal testimony that they would?
It's not rebuttal testimony. They're testifying as another interested agency.
Okay, at that point in time. You know, this really comes down to just being kind of a formality and the board willing to kind of waive or modify its own rule on timeliness on a submission of a paper. That's what this comes down to.
I don't think it's a modification of the rule because the rule allows late submissions unless it will prejudice a party.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we start?
Okay, then.
Okay. Thank you.
Our staff person who has prepared this staff report and will be presenting this item is Ryan Lodge.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Ryan Lodge. I'm a water resource control engineer. I'm here to present for your consideration a board resolution that would adopt or approve the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program. I'd like to start off, first of all, by providing a brief overview of the Phase 2 regulations and permitting requirements. And throughout the presentation, I will include excerpts from Federal Register in an effort to provide background on EPA's development of the Phase 2 stormwater regulations. The Federal Phase 2 stormwater regulations were published in the Federal Register in December of 1999 and are included in Title 40 of the Code of Federal Regulations. The State Water Resources Control Board adopted a general permit for the Phase 2 program in April of 2003, which covers all the federally mandated Phase 2 stormwater requirements. The key elements of the general permit include the requirement to develop and implement a stormwater management program, which must include best management practices that address the six minimum control measures and ultimately reduce pollutants to the maximum extent practicable and protect water quality. So first off, I want to go over the development of the stormwater management program. The Monterey Regional Group consists of the cities and the unincorporated urbanized areas on the screen. They submitted an application package for coverage under the general stormwater permit, which included their stormwater management program as co-permittees. It was submitted originally in March of 2003 and has since been revised and resubmitted on several occasions based on staff, board staff recommendations or comments, and also comments from the public. The April 2005 version of the stormwater management program was presented to the board in May of 2005, at which time board members and members of the public expressed concern about the specificity and the level of detail in the stormwater management program, and ultimately directed the Monterey Regional Group to revise their stormwater management program to include additional specificity and detail, which they have done. They've revised it and resubmitted it in October of 2005, including additional detail and specificity. The Monterey Regional Group followed a deliberate process in developing their stormwater management program, which included initially identifying pollutants of concern, not only the pollutants that are generally found in stormwater, but also specific pollutants of concern found in the Monterey Regional area based on historical monitoring data. They then evaluated the EPA's national menu of BMPs, the California Stormwater Quality Association handbook, and the Model Urban Runoff Program, and looking at BMPs that would best address the pollutants of concern that they identified. They then selected BMPs based on those pollutants of concern, based on technical and economically feasible, and the BMPs that will be the most effective in reducing the pollutants of concern. The additional detail that has been added, or some of the additional detail, I'm not going to go through every addition to the swamp that has been added since the last board hearing, include illicit connection, illegal discharge response protocols designed to provide steps from logging and investigating and responding to illicit discharge or reports of illicit discharge. They also developed progressive enforcement protocols outlining progressive enforcement steps, including anywhere from verbal and written warnings all the way up to formal legal action. They included a business inventory, which will be prioritized for inspection in their illicit discharge and detection program. Street sweeping schedules and maps for each of the urbanized areas. Construction site plan review and inspection procedures. Staff training materials in a variety of pollution prevention topics. And used motor oil disposal protocols for the municipal operations. And again, that's just a few of the additional details that they've added to their stormwater management program. Uh, Next, I'm going to go over the requirement to include best management practices that address the six minimum control measures. The six minimum control measures are included in 40 CFR and are also part of the general permit. Essentially, the stormwater management program is really organized around these six minimum control measures, and the Monterey Regional Group has proposed BMPs to address each of these minimum control measures. The best management practices to address the six minimum control measures must reduce pollutants to the maximum extent practicable and protect water quality, which is another general permit requirement or key element. The MEP standard is a technology-based standard included in the Clean Water Act and is also defined in the general permit as an ever-evolving, flexible standard that balances technical feasibility, cost, and the effectiveness of the BMPs in reducing pollutants. The Federal Register provides just a little insight into the EPA's rationale for minimum control measures and the MEP standard, emphasizing that MEP is different for each MS4 based on unique local conditions. MS4 stands for Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. And also emphasizing that the need for permittees to determine appropriate BMPs for their program, and that they use an evaluative process to develop the most effective best management practices. So again, I'd like to revisit the slide that I had up previously and just reemphasize the fact that they've identified their pollutants of concern, gone through an evaluative process of looking at the BMPs that would best address those pollutants of concern, and they looked at the BMPs that are technically and economically feasible and that would be the most effective in reducing those pollutants of concern, which is this whole process is consistent with the federal and requirements and also the state general permit. We received comments from the Natural Resource Defense Council and the Ocean Conservancy in the form of a report which addresses the April 2005 version of the Stormwater Management Program. We also received a comment letter from the Monterey Regional Group, which comments on the report from the Natural Resource Defense Council and the Ocean Conservancy. And finally, we received a letter from the Natural Resource Defense Council addressing the October 2005 version of the Stormwater Management Program. Again, the first set of comments were in the form of a report addressing the April 2005 Stormwater Management Program. And the report analyzes BMPs in the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program and compares them to BMPs in 11 other Phase 1 and Phase 2 Stormwater Management Programs and the Model Urban Runoff Program. It also provides recommendations for revising the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program to include BMPs, best management practices that are also in other communities' stormwater management programs, primarily throughout the state of California. I'd first like to point out that that the revised Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program addresses most of the issues that are raised in that report. But beyond that, local conditions must be considered when choosing BMPs and strategies to reduce pollutants to the maximum extent practicable. It may be different for each small permittee, small community. The best management practice in one area or situation may not be appropriate for another area or situation. And again, looking at the Federal Register, just reiterates the value of allowing the permittees to choose their BMPs and develop a stormwater management program that will reduce pollutants and stormwater to the maximum extent practicable based on local conditions, and that flexibility is inherent in the program.
Mr. Lodge, if I could just interject with some questions. Are we really talking about different BMPs that NRDC is proposing versus what the discharger is proposing, or are we looking at the same BMPs but just putting more detail and descriptors.
A lot of them are just a different level of...
A different level of the same BMP.
Correct.
Okay.
Another issue I'd like to point out with the report from the NRDC and the Ocean Conservancy is that the report compares the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program to parts of 11 other stormwater management programs. It does not compare any one entire stormwater management program to the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program. And that's a significant point. Because it's not just the individual BMPs that make up that are best for reducing pollutants to the maximum extent practicable. It's the entire program as a whole. As a general permit points out, that's a critical aspect of the program. And to compare, essentially, the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program to essentially a group of BMPs that are taken from 11 different entities, it's not essentially a level playing field. And you must consider all of them as a whole and how they reduce pollutants to the maximum extent practicable, rather than just taking potentially the best BMPs and maybe the most resource-intensive BMPs from different communities throughout the state. Also, the other Phase 2 stormwater management programs are unproven at this point. The programs are essentially in their first and second year of implementation. Some are early on in their third year. So not all of their BMPs, first of all, have been implemented, and many of them haven't had an opportunity to even evaluate whether they're successful or not in reducing pollutants to the maximum extent practicable. So to require that the Monterey Regional Group implement those BMPs even when they're not, haven't been shown to work or necessarily be effective in those other communities may not be appropriate at this time.
Well, are these BMPs that EPA has sanctioned as being appropriate, or the state board has sanctioned as being appropriate?
Yes, most of them are on the BMP list, but to choose the ones that are going to work for your community, that's the critical aspect of it. Evaluating local conditions and local pollutants of concern programs you have going on already and the resources you have available to implement those.
Is that when you're looking at communities up and down California coast, are the local conditions going to vary so much that they really call into question their application to this region? I mean, how far do you take that your point? I mean, if it's I can understand upstate Vermont maybe, but what about plans that are BMPs that are in plans in California?
Well, some of the other urbanized areas are highly, highly urbanized, and this area is not necessarily as urbanized as like the Los Angeles area or the San Diego area. So you may have different BMPs that you select for those areas. Also, the demographic of the people that you're serving. A large component of the Stormwater Management Program is the public outreach and education, and so that varies from area to area within the state of California, and so you need to be aware of that and tailor your program to address that.
Other issues could include difference in rainfall levels in different places, and the fact that this area has very high quality receiving waters, the ASBS and other protected waters, so that distinguishes it from some other areas.
Again, the Monterey Regional Group submitted a letter in response to the report authored by the Natural Resource Defense Council and the Ocean Conservancy. And they essentially indicate that they feel they've been fully responsive to the issues in that report. And board staff believe that the revised Monterey Regional Swamp addresses the majority of the issues that are raised in that report. And then finally, we received a comment letter from the Natural Resource Defense Council in December of 2005. And this comment letter addresses the October 2005 Stormwater Management Program, the revised version, which is before you today. And some of the primary concerns are that the general permit attachment 4 requirements, which are the more stringent requirements for new development, should apply to all areas in the permit coverage, under the permit coverage area. They also believe that more specificity is still needed in order for us to properly evaluate whether they meet the general permit requirements, and also that they fail to meet the maximum extent practicable standard. The attachment 4, the comment on the attachment 4 requirements, attachment 4 applies automatically to small MS4s serving a population of 50,000 or higher, or who have a high growth rate, which constitutes 25% or higher growth rate over a 10-year period. And so with that, the communities of Sand City, Prunedale, and Castroville must comply with attachment 4 standards due to their high growth rate. And Water Board staff will recommend that the cities of Monterey and Pacific Grove also comply with the attachment 4 because they discharge stormwater to areas of special biological significance, and therefore the most stringent requirements are necessary.
Who does that leave out of the members of the group from complying with attachment 4?
That would leave out, I believe, Marina, Del Rey Oaks, Seaside, and then the unincorporated areas of the County of Monterey.
And Seaside and Del Rey Oaks and Marina, they're all on the ocean, don't they have ocean frontage? They don't?
Not Del Rey Oaks.
Okay. Seaside? Mm-hmm. And Marina?
Seaside, Marina.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Monterey Group?
Marina and Seaside have. Yes.
What about the unincorporated areas of the county that aren't included?
No, that's Spreckles, Toro Park, Pajaro.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. At the May board hearing, staff recommended requiring all communities discharging to impaired water bodies, or those that, which is defined as those on the 303D list of impaired water bodies, comply with attachment 4 requirements. However, after further consideration, staff feel that requiring attachment 4 compliance for communities that discharge the 303D list of water bodies is not necessary at this time. Staff believe that the BMPs proposed in the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program will be effective in reducing pollutants to impaired water bodies. And also that when TMDLs are developed that require additional load reductions for urbanized areas or identify the urbanized areas as significant sources of 303D listed pollutants, we will require additional standards at that time. But for now, we believe the proposed BMPs will minimize urban stormwater impacts on the impaired water bodies. I want to address the comment that more specificity is needed. As I discussed earlier in the presentation, the Monterey Regional Group has developed and included additional detail into the stormwater management program, including the illicit discharge detection elimination reporting protocols, inventory of businesses, and the progressive enforcement protocols, to name a few.
Well, it would be helpful to know what the entire list is. You know, it looked like NRDC was seeking more specificity throughout all 6 of the components.
I think the Monterey Regional Group, well, they will be providing a presentation later, and I think at that time they'd be able to provide you with a lot more specific details on each of those. Yes, and they also included an analysis in their letter, the Monterey Regional Response Letter to the report of the NRDC. They go through a point by point where they put the comment from the NRDC report and where they've addressed it in their stormwater management program. And that is, that's part of your packet as attachment 6 to the staff report. I'd also like to point out that the stormwater management program balances specificity with some flexibility to allow for the best possible implementation of the Monterey stormwater management program. And the flexibility in the swap allows them to adapt the program to be consistent with and hopefully complement existing ordinances and programs, and that the flexibility allows for optimal pollutant reductions. I'm going to address now the comment that it fails, the stormwater management program fails to meet the MEP, or the maximum extent practicable standard. I'll revisit this slide again, because again I want to reemphasize that they've gone through this very deliberate process of identifying the pollutants of concern, evaluating the BMPs that would address those pollutants of concern. So they've engaged over the past 4 years in an evaluative process already to pick their BMPs. And also, as a general permit requires, they've looked at the technical feasibility, economic feasibility, and whether they feel that the BMPs will be effective. And we agree as staff that they will be effective in reducing pollutants to the maximum extent practicable.
Mr. Lodge, when you go through that process of looking at BMPs by way of evaluating whether they meet maximum extent practicable, when you have two BMPs in front of you, as you've had now in the Monterey Group plan and the NRDC plan, how do you recognize that you have a BMP that is MEP, that is satisfying MEP when you see it? That is to say, when you have two in front of you, how do you have you submitted each one of them to this three-part test, technical feasibility, economic feasibility, effectiveness, and rejected BMPs if they fail any one of those three tests? I didn't quite see that in your replies.
The Monterey Regional Group has gone through that process,
right,
of developing.
What about, but I'm asking what you do and whether you have determined to your satisfaction that presented with these two sets of BMPs, you can discern which one is meeting MEP and then reject one or the other.
Essentially, I look at comparable stormwater management programs in the region and just have to essentially take their word for it that that's what's economically feasible for them. I haven't done an economic analysis of their budgets, but
well, how do you know then if you have some BMPs that have been adopted by another community this particular community rejects them? How do you know that it's on the basis of economic feasibility if you don't have some kind of analysis?
Essentially, again, it's a balancing act between what we have seen in other communities and whether they are addressing the pollutants of concern with the BMPs that they propose, and they are doing so in their plan. So that's the biggest, one of the bigger issues for us is whether they are addressing the pollutants of concern, because that's ultimately
right,
what
but
we want.
But if you have a set of BMPs that are both, it's not just BMP, it's MEP. So if you have two sets of BMPs that are both in principle, in practice, effective, how are you making the determination of maximum effectiveness practicable if so another community has adopted it for similar pollutants, is that enough? If another community has adopted a BMP that is not on the list of the Monterey group, do you then conclude that the other community has met the economic test because they implemented it de facto? They implemented it, and therefore it's met some economic test. Is that the analysis?
If I may, this is Donette Dunaway. Your question is excellent, and it meets half of what we have to do, one of which is try and determine what is MEP from the outset, which we have no guarantees of saying, is this the best, is this the maximum that we can meet. So the way that the permit is set up is that they provide that we put together a program, and then we have this analysis each year where we look at the effectiveness, or the permittee looks at the effectiveness and determines, did it work? Do we need to change it or not? And that's the other half that I think we have to remember. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know going in necessarily if this is going to be the perfect program.
Okay. And if another community has adopted a BMP for the same pollutant, the same issue of concern, used it for a cycle or two, and found it very effective, would you then conclude, or would that lead you to urge its adoption earlier in the process, and that is at the initial phase where we are now, rather than waiting for an evaluation period?
Possibly, but we have to also determine, are all the input variables the same for that community versus this community? So that's the other factor.
Okay, well, and I don't mean to be annoying and a nudge here, but though I can be a nudge. what I'm really getting at is when the analysis happens, because it seems to me that, and I've seen an argument made throughout the documents that there are potentially high analytic burdens when going through a process like this. That is to say that people have to learn what's effective. They have to do some analysis about feasibility and cost in their own communities. And that's going to take staff time. It's going to all right. What you're suggesting is that, one way to interpret what you're suggesting is, the analysis could happen prior to adoption, by looking at other communities and looking at sort of state of the art for similar pollutants and in similar communities, or the analysis can happen after adoption, but in any event, it's going to have to happen. Analysis is going to have to happen. So I'm trying to get a sense of how you're splitting that difference, because there is an analytic burden anyway, and I want to make sure that analysis is going to happen and actually result in course corrections if need be.
Right, right. I think we have to do both, the pre- and the during process part. I don't think either should be ignored.
Do you okay. I've got a comment to make, if I could. Mr. Lodge, did you say that as part of your process that you look to see if other communities have adopted certain BMPs in the region to see if they're effective and, I mean, cost-effective and feasible? It's kind of an initial take on if it worked in this location, then it's reasonable to see it pop up in this swamp.
I've looked at the entire swamp and the balance of BMPs that are included in various swamps. I don't necessarily look at each individual BMP that are being in place in other communities.
No, but did you looked at other areas in the region, other swamps?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So why isn't it on its face reasonable for NRDC to essentially do the same thing?
Let me rephrase maybe what I said and try and clarify. I looked at the entire stormwater management programs for those areas. I didn't look at individual BMPs and pull individual BMPs necessarily and say, well, since it's done in this community, you can do it in another community. The balancing act comes with the amount of resources that are available, because different parts of the other swamp may be less not as robust as those that are in the Monterey Regional Swamp, but that particular BMP may be. So if you take that and you put it into the Monterey Regional Swamp, it could take resources away from the other BMPs, which will be effective in reducing pollutants, and then you transfer it to that, and the overall plan may not be effective in reducing the pollutants to the maximum extent practicable.
So can you do that if you have if you haven't costed it out?
For the economic part of it, I have to take what they are saying, that what their available resources are. And with this plan is a robust plan.
Have they costed it out to your satisfaction?
Yes. I mean,
you have cost data from them.
No, I don't have cost data, but they're telling me that this is what the most effective plan that they can produce and implement with the resources they have available. I haven't gone through an economic analysis looking at each BMP, the other programs in their community.
Did you request cost data from them?
No.
Do you have any reason to why you wouldn't request cost data from them?
No, I mean, from what I've looked at their plan, like I said, from my perspective, it will be an effective plan. What the BMPs they have laid out will be effective in reducing pollutants. And I have to believe what they're providing is the maximum they can do with the resources they have available.
Okay, thank you.
This is going to boil down to discretion, and you know what is whether MEP has been been met. You know, we have the discharger's opinion, we have staff's opinion, NRDC's opinion, and we're going to have to kind of decide whether we think that more is necessary to meet MEP. I'd like EPA if they have any comments on this. I'm just kind of curious whether anything popped into their mind as they. Ms. Strauss, as you've been listening to this discussion, as to what EPA thinks needs to be done when you start looking at cost and things, do you get into the discharger's specific analysis?
No, we typically do not. We do look at, since this issue has been with us for the past 15 years, since the first round 3 permit terms ago of Phase 1 MS4s had begun, there has always been mention, I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Hold on one second, Ms. Strauss, because we're having technical difficulties so that we can all hear you.
Let me try. In this electronic age, we're speaking with two tin cans here. The issue of cost has been with all of us for more than 15 years, since the larger Phase 1 cities in this region began issuance of their MS4 permits. And at the time, there was clearly tension between the state or regional boards and the local co-permittees over how stormwater programs would begin to be funded starting in the early 1990s. Well, here we are 3 permit terms later, and in some cases in the fourth generation of MS4 permits, and cities have been through numerous ups and downs on how public health and environmental programs are funded at the state and local level. So I would offer just briefly 3 comments. I think it's very important for cities to have identified the dedicated revenue stream which funds these programs through fee-based programs or whatever the appropriate mechanism is. Secondly, that where one has cost-based fees, that we are, at the local level, ensuring that those fees are appropriately covering the true costs of running these programs. Because MEP, as you know, is a constantly evolving form as various technologies and other best management practices are refined. it's not like you can do something once and expect it to be considered effective from an MEP perspective for all time into the future. And thirdly, the importance of prioritizing within a given area of which are the most important areas in terms of needing to control the pollutants that may be entering the receiving waters. Obviously, one can't cover all the territory all the time, but one should have done enough field work and have that on-the-ground knowledge that one has at the local level to know where the priority areas are and which are the storm drains and outfalls that one's going to focus on first and which are the major construction sites that one is going to inspect at a certain frequency and so forth. So I know you have much to cover. Let me just leave it at that briefly.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Lodge.
And finally, I'd like to recommend some revisions to the stormwater management program, first of which is to explicitly include the areas that are required to comply with Attachment 4 of the general permit, which are the communities listed on the screen. At this point, they aren't listed in the stormwater management program, so we'd like for them to put those in there as having to comply with Attachment 4 standards. We'd also like to recommend that they add additional training, a training BMP that covers landscape practices that includes pollutant minimization for landscaping and lawn care activities. Recommend that they add a cat waste component to the education program due to the potential link between cat waste and sea otter mortality. And then there are additional minor revisions that are included in the resolution. And then to wrap up my presentation, I'd like to point out again that the added details have strengthened the program, that they meet or exceed the permit requirements. And I'd also like to point out that this is a five-year program and that board staff will evaluate it on an annual basis. And we have the authority to require modifications to the stormwater management program if they are needed. It's an iterative process, and the MEP standard requires that they continually adapt the program and update it to ensure that they are reducing pollutants to the maximum extent practicable. The Monterey Regional Group must review and revise their plan on an annual basis, not just individual BMPs, but they must look at the entire program as a whole to ensure that it is meeting the MEP standard. Because, again, it's the entire program as a whole that must reduce pollutants to the maximum extent practicable. Also, I'd like to point out that the Monterey Regional Group has been working on this for over 4 years, and they're ready to implement their program. They've done everything we've asked them to do, and they've done everything that is required by the regulations in developing their program. And they provide us every indication that they will implement a successful program with the work that they've done. We need to provide them, Monterey Regional Group, with the opportunity to start implementing their program, and in doing so, reducing pollutants to the maximum extent practicable. So with that, I'd like to recommend that the board adopt the resolution, which approves the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program with the required revisions. Are there any additional questions?
I'm sure there will be, and you know, maybe we'll kind of entertain them as we go along. So, what we'll hear now from the discharger?
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Please, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is it possible to, when we do turn out the lights, can we keep, is there a separate switch for these?
I'll check on that.
Okay. Thanks.